Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. We're here at 5 o'clock, so that means something is up. Sadly, Dan the Man is still under the weather, so Schomburg Stu has graciously agreed to jump back on and fill in again. So welcome, Stu, to the podcast.
All right.
So pretty soon you're going to be here every day, and I'll be able to take days off. That'd be nice,
yeah.
Huh? Oh. All right. You want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of those to pop up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet. One of these days it's going to pop up and I'm going to have a Twitter feed for Stu, but not quite yet. But I am out there still. You can find me at Burke Time. So there you go. And, man, we got a lot of action going on, but I wanted to start before we get into the trades, because I think there's four or five that have went down since we talked yesterday. I kind of wanted to get your opinion here. You know, Aaron Judge got hit last night. He's got what they're describing as a chip fracture in the wrist. Minimum of 3 weeks. How big of an effect is this going to have on the Yankees and their chase, after the Red Sox there?
Well, I think that the Yankees are going to wind up in the second place. I don't think it's going to stop them from winding up in second and getting into the wild situation, but I don't think they're going to overtake Boston now. That's a serious hit for them, no pun intended. And granted, Judge strikes out a lot of times, too many, as far as I'm concerned. But got a lot of power and a lot of punch, and adds to the lineup, so they're going to miss him.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when they were talking about his injury today, and they described him as an MVP candidate, because I didn't really have him in that race there. But, you know, he's 285 with 26 home runs. He has driven in 61. His walks are up a little this year. He has 68 walks in 99 games, but he's also struck out 137 times. So, but, again, this is stuff where, you and I get stuck on this because we're old and we're not adjusting to this new wave, you can strike out as much as you want stuff. I have such a hard time with a guy who strikes out that freaking much winning an MVP award.
Yeah, I would not vote for him, even though his numbers are good and he has power and RBIs and a decent batting average, but that just way too many times to strike out. And not putting the ball in play, maybe advancing a runner, doing something to avoid those horrendous amount of strikeouts.
Yeah. I was just kind of, again, just kind of baffled when they, they threw it out there and they were like, oh, yeah, well, he was an MVP candidate. And I'm kind of looking at it thinking, well, there's two guys in Boston having better years. Jose Altuve is right there, and even, Mike Trout is having a better year. And I was just kind of like, okay, I don't even think he's top five. When you kind of start to look at the breakdown, I mean, right now, if you're not giving it to Mookie Betts, who's hitting almost .350 on the best team in baseball, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. Martinez is .323 with 31 bombs. Altuve's power numbers are a little down, but he's almost at .340. And then the Indians, Jose Ramirez has got 30 home runs already. He's hitting .298, with 73 RBIs. So yeah,
He cannot be in the mix for the MVP. Those guys are all better than he is.
So,
maybe he's in the
top
10.
There's been talk that, you know, the Boston guys will cancel each other out, but I don't know if I believe that, because they may end up 1-2 on a lot of ballots. So,
does any other player in the American League have more strikeouts than Judge?
I can tell you that in 1 second. Yes, there are actually two guys ahead of him. Believe it or not, Yoan Moncada of the White Sox leads the way with 139. And no surprise here, Joey Gallo has 138, because that's what Gallo does. He also has 25 home runs, which everybody looks over it, but he's also hitting .190. So I've never understood the fascination with Joey Gallo, but everybody loves him because he hits home runs.
Well, as you and I have discussed before, in 20 years ago, he would not be in the majors, despite his power.
Yeah. A little bit of Judge's stats are taken away because the Yankees hit him second, so his RBI total isn't quite what it would be if he was hitting even third. But, you know, like, he's tied for 15th in RBI, so that's not too bad. And he is a fifth in home runs, and this is all in the American League, not overall. Of course, obviously, those stats are going to drop now because he's going to miss, you know, I'm guessing a minimum of probably 20 or more games. So,
yeah, I can't see him in the mix for MVP, except for one reason. He's a New York Yankee. Does that mean that much? I guess it does, to the media at least.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the reason they even mentioned it that way. It was just literally the fact that he was a Yankee. Otherwise, I was just kind of like, wait, why is he who what?
That is just too many strikeouts. No matter how many RBIs he drives in and homers he hits, it just terrible, terrible number. But what do I know?
Trust me, I know absolutely nothing. We move along here to, the Cubs and the Cardinals are opening a series tonight, and the Cardinals have made some changes. The Cubs did too, but the Cardinals made a couple more. The first move I saw today, they designated Greg Holland for assignment. Now, this gives them 10 days to either trade or release him. It was interesting to me. I don't even know if interesting might not be the right word, but more like shocking just how bad Holland ended up being for the Cardinals. You know, he was the Royals closer, ended up having Tommy John surgery the year they won the World Series, so he missed participating in that. They let him go into free agency. He goes to Colorado. And he leads the league with 41 saves. The Rockies don't bring him back. He sat on the open market forever. He was another one of those guys who was one of the last pitchers signed. I think see if they got a signing date here. He may have actually been signed after the season started. He was signed on March 3rd. March 31st, Cardinals. They still gave him a good deal. They signed him to a $14 million contract. He's appeared in 32 games. He was dinged up for a little while. He's 0-2 with an ERA of 7.92. Is this just a fact of we're looking at a once-dominant closer who's just lost it?
It happens. How old is Holland right now? How old? Do you have his age handy?
I can get it for you. He is 32. He'll be 33 in November.
Not that old. Sometimes these relievers can just go very quickly, and they've had it. And I think I brought this name up before, but the Cubs had a good closer for years, maybe before your time, Don Elston. I don't know if you remember the name. And he was great year after year after year, but the next year he was horrible. Didn't have a thing on the ball, and he was out of baseball. So it does happen. However, he is only 32. I don't know.
Yeah, because you know I'm looking at his numbers, and you know he started with the Royals as a setup guy. His first full year was 2011. He had a 1.80 ERA. He did pick up four saves. They slowly moved him into the closer role. That next year he had a 2.96 ERA, but he picked up 16 saves. Then he took over full time as the closer and was just dominant for 2 years. He put up an ERA in 2013 of 1.21 with 47 saves. The next year he came back with 1.44 and 46 saves. Then he gave up some runs. I believe he got hurt in 2015. That's where he had the arm injury. 3.83 ERA, but he still picked up 32 saves. You know, again, he sat out all of 2016, recovering from Tommy John. Colorado brings him in. He makes 61 appearances. Like I said, he had a league-high 41 saves. He also had a league-high 58 games that he finished. The ERA was a little high at 3.61, but, you know, you're pitching in Colorado. That's going to happen.
Right.
Just ask Wade
right.
Davis. This year, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's been a fiasco. And I just kind of wonder if – I don't think they'll find a trade partner, so they'll have to release him. But I'm wondering if – is somebody else going to look at him? You think another team takes a flyer on him here?
Not this year. I don't think so. But maybe he'll get an invite next season with some team. But that's the best I can hope for Allen right now. What do you think? You think anybody's going to actually take a chance and pick him up based upon what he's done?
I'm wondering if maybe Kansas City brings him back. Because obviously you're only going to have to pay him the minimum for the remainder of the season, and St. Louis is going to pick up the rest of that contract. I was thinking possibly somebody like that makes the move, but I can't really see a contender jumping on
and going.
Yeah, okay, we'll take a look. Unless he's willing to go to AAA and see if he could work it out, then maybe, because there's just so many contenders that need bullpen help. If he was willing to take a AAA assignment or even sign a minor league deal, with the exception being, you bring me up by a certain date or you release me, which a lot of veteran guys will do. So... I
don't know. I don't think so. And you're talking about Kansas City, who was in a complete rebuild mode. In fact, they're even behind the White Sox, right? So why would they even consider bringing him aboard? For what purpose? What purpose would it serve?
I think it's just the fact that they may need the arm if they move some guys. There are teams that don't want to almost like sacrifice their young guys. And a lot of teams don't want to start their arbitration clocks either. So you can turn to a veteran like Holland for the major league minimum, get him for the rest of the season. And, you're not eating up your young guy, and it's basically done
right.
for money purposes. You're not burning up that arbitration clock. So a team like that, or again, like I said, if he's willing to take a AAA assignment, but the corresponding move the Cardinals made was kind of interesting. So Holland goes away, and they bring up a prospect by the name of Dakota Hudson, who is a 23-year-old, and I went past what side of the plate he throws. So he's a 23-year-old right-handed starter. The Cardinals have had great luck lately with their young starting pitching. Threw two of them, one through seven no-hit innings and the other one through six. So I don't know what Hudson's got going on. But in 19 starts in AAA Memphis, he was 3-13 with a 2.50 ERA. So
ERA sounds pretty good, but the record doesn't, does it?
Well, 13-3, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I thought you said 3-13, which threw me for a second, but you mean 13-3, right? 13-3.
Yeah.
Memphis being their AAA affiliate, of course, maybe this is another one of the Cardinal finds, like you say, they seem to come up with good starting pitching from their organization.
But, I am wondering, as they start to bring up these these young guys, and I know I think they may have just turned around and sent the other two guys right back down after they made their starts, but I'm wondering if they're looking this now. You know, they're 500, they're 51-51, but with the streak the Pirates have been on, the Cardinals have dropped into fourth place in the NL Central, so they're, you know, even farther behind in the wild card. I wonder if this maybe signals the possibility that they're going to be sellers here at the trade deadline.
I suspect that to be true. I think they will wind up being sellers. I think it's a little bit late in the game for them to make a move. And like you pointed out, there's three teams ahead of them, and they're way behind in the wild card race. So I think, as I mentioned, they're going to pull the plug and become sellers instead of buyers, which is very unusual for St. Louis.
Very, very, very strange. But, yeah, you know, like earlier in the week they had Austin Gomber make a start, and he did really, really well. And it looks like he's still on the roster, so maybe he'll get another start. But the interesting kid, they had this Daniel, I'm going to guess this is Ponce de Leon, who came up and they pulled him after seven no-hit innings.
Yeah.
You know, he had three guys and only struck out three, and, you know, they were just kind of being careful. He's 26. You know, he was the kid last year in AAA who got hit in the head with the line drive and had that brain surgery.
Yeah,
so that's a heck of a story for him to, you know, bounce back like that. And, you know, I wonder, yeah, you know, looking at their, you know, the team, you know, and everything they've got going on here, if maybe they've got a, you know, some young arms that they want to take a look at, and they're, you know, they're possibly going to be like, okay, let's shuffle some of these veteran guys out.
Now, was Ponce de Leon one of the guys sent back down again, or is he still with the main roster?
Yeah, they after he made a start, they turned around and sent him right back down, which was kind of humorous. I know everybody got a kick out of that because he pitched so well.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I believe Gomber, or however they're pronouncing it, followed it up the next night with six no-hit innings. But, yeah, like I said, it looks like he is still currently on the roster. So maybe, you know, he's got to have a start coming up maybe this weekend against the Cubs, or, you know, possibly, you know, Monday or Tuesday, depending on when they play. But, while the Cardinals were making moves, the other move they made that I was a little interested in here, they had made a trade as well with all these other moves they had. They sent Sam Tuvalala, is what I'm guessing there, to the Mariners for a double-A right-hander by the name of Seth Eldridge. You know, for a little while, it looked like Tuvalala was possibly going to take over as their closer, but it just kind of never worked out. He's appeared in 31 games for him. He's 3-3, and, you know, for a reliever, he's got a 3.69 ERA, so it's a little elevated, but, you know, last year he appeared in 37 games for him with a 2.55 ERA. You know, he's a young guy. He's just 25. So I was a little surprised to see the trade go down, but then again, I'm just wondering if they're making room for some young arms, even younger arms than 25.
Yeah, that could be, but the guy was pretty solid in his last couple of years. Maybe he's gone up a little bit in his ERA this year, but that's a surprising move to make, especially all they're getting in return as a double-A prospect.
So, yeah, well, you know, sadly, that's the hot thing here. Let's see what kind of numbers this. Well, you know, this prospect is a reliever, which is also interesting, but he's 22 years old, and actually they only have him at high class A. So I don't know if maybe the Cardinals are going to move him up into A ball. But he's appeared in 31 games, and he's finished 27 with 9 saves. He's 5-1 with a 1.17 ERA. And over his 38 and a third innings, he does have 54 strikeouts to only 15 walks. Of course, you know, we're just looking at a 22-year-old kid who isn't just high class A. So, you know, they got a guy who's probably at best 4 seasons away from making it to the big leagues.
Yeah,
but
that's always a crapshoot too. You know, they can have great numbers in A ball and fall on their face when it comes to double A even or triple A and never make it to the majors. So it's
my huge problem with reading these like top prospect lists and stuff is these guys always fill them up with a bunch of, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who are still in Class A, and these guys are so damn far away that it's like they expect us to forget that once upon a time you had this guy ranked in the top 10 of prospects, and he just kind of vanished.
It shows you how difficult it is to make it to the major leagues, where there's how many players in the major leagues? We got 750 major league ball players, and everybody trying to make it to the big show, and very few will do it. And especially in pitching, you never know. I've seen these guys with great ERAs and A ball, even double A ball. They move them to triple A and they get hammered. So, as I said before, it's a crapshoot, certainly. But what do you think? You think the Cardinals are going to become sellers this time? I think they will, myself.
Yeah, boy, it really looks like it. I mean, you know, kind of going over the roster, you know, I don't know how much they actually have to move is what I would be curious how they would go about it. I mean, maybe they move some relievers. You know, I know they have Bud Norris, who they probably, you know, wouldn't be, you know, all that interested in maybe hanging on to. But, you know, I don't know how many of their position players they would be willing to sell. I mean, they just went out and got Ozuna. You know, guys like Molina and Carpenter aren't going anywhere. So, I don't know, you know, how many guys they would actually really break down and look to move. I mean, I'm sure they would love to move Dexter Fowler, but nobody's taking that contract.
He got the deal he wanted, but he hasn't fulfilled it too much for the Cardinals. But when you look at the Cardinals on paper, look at their starting lineup. They got some talent on that lineup. They're not a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm kind of surprised that they're hovering around 500 for this season. And what do you think is causing that?
Well, you know, I mean, you can look at it. I mean, just numbers-wise, they're just flat out not hitting. You know, we mentioned Fowler, whose average actually went up. He's up to 181, so maybe we'll see him get the 200 this year. But, yeah, it's, you know, Ozuna has been a, you know, I guess the only way to really explain it is he's been a disappointment. I mean, they brought him in, and I really thought he would be a breakout guy here. But, you know, he's hitting just 261, and he only has 10 home runs. You know, after I think it was May, Tommy Pham looked like he was going to be an MVP candidate. He's now at 253 with just 14 home runs. You know, and then DeJong got hurt, and, you know, he's supposed to be the shortstop. But again, you know, you're looking at a guy who's hitting 248. You know, it's just a lot of disappointing guys who, you know, haven't produced offensively. And then, like a lot of teams, they had some struggles with pitching. You know, Adam Wainwright got hurt, and, you know, they started plugging in these younger guys who look like they're coming around. You know, this Mikolas, who they brought back from Japan, has pitched really well for them.
Yes.
You know, Waka looked like he was having a real good year, but no surprise he got hurt again. So, it just kind of falls out that way.
Those names you're mentioning, other than Fowler, I mean, let's face it, a 250 average with 10 to 15 home runs isn't all that bad. I mean, I've seen a lot worse that are still plodding along in the majors with much lower batting averages. Maybe they have a few more home runs, but so it's not all that bad. Not all that bad, but certainly disappointing from the Cardinals' standpoint.
That's been the thing. You know, I do wonder, you know, if they would move a guy like Jed Jerko, you know, who doesn't really seem to have a spot unless somebody's hurt. You know, or I think, you know, I'm sure if you're interested, Colton Wong could be had. I know he's on the DL now, but, you know, if you were, you know, interested in maybe bringing him in, he is a lefty. You know, I know he's having a bad year hitting 216, but, you know, he could play some multiple positions, maybe a bench guy for a team. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't see them, you know, I know there was some talk that they might deal Carlos Martinez, but I would be shocked if they did something like that. I mean, he's not even 30 and, he's not having a bad year. So,
you know how the Cardinals love to play the Cubs, especially in St. Louis. So maybe they're looking forward to seeing Chicago because they always seem to handle them at their home ballpark.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I know we talked yesterday, you know, where the Nationals had actually came out and said, depending on how their weekend series goes, is going to make them buyers or sellers. I wonder if the same thing could be said about the Cardinals this weekend. You know, if the Cubs go in there and sweep, maybe they pack it in and they start shipping off guys. But if St. Louis takes two or three or sweeps the Cubs, you know, maybe there's a,
move
guys.
Realistically, if the Cubs win two out of three on the road against St. Louis, I think that is going to make up their mind to become sellers instead of buyers. But on the other, if they win two out of three, even or sweep, they may have second thoughts and think maybe we can get back into this thing.
So, yeah, and, like, you know, while we move on to the Cubs, they did make a pickup. We talked about it a little yesterday. They do end up getting Cole Hamels. I was a little surprised to see Eddie Butler going the other way in the deal. I thought they would hang on to him, but then the other guy in the deal is a minor leaguer by the name of Raleigh Lacy. And there is a player to be named later added in here. Lacy is a 23-year-old right-hander who actually he started at low Class A South Bend, but they promoted him. He was rolling at South Bend. He was 4-1 with a 2.02 ERA. He had been, you know, he had started 10 games, but he appeared in 16. He's only made two starts in Double A. He's 1-1, and the ERA is 5.79. But it's a real small sample size to judge there.
Right.
So, you know, another kid that, who knows how he's going to turn out. He just turned 23. You know, Butler just came back off the DL and, you know, made the one appearance. What was that? Was it yesterday? Did he pitch yesterday?
Yeah. Didn't he win a game?
So,
he won a game, didn't he? Didn't he get credit for the win?
Yeah. He's actually 1-1 with a 4.08 ERA this year for the Cubs. Again, he was banged up, so he's been out for quite a while.
Yeah, I was surprised the Cubs moved him, actually.
Yeah, he was a bit of a shock to me. I wasn't expecting him to go. I thought he would be a big part of the bullpen. The Cubs didn't have to give up too much because they're picking up $5 million, whatever, on Hamill's salary.
Right.
So I think the player named will be interesting to see who it ends up floating out to be. I emailed you there, you know, Hamill's ERA in his last five games has been over 10. Everybody's equating it to the fact that he's been pitching in Texas. Are you buying that or are you concerned here?
I'm concerned. Like you said, Texas is a hitting friendly ballpark, but an ERA of 10 over his last few starts, it's kind of ominous to me.
So, yeah, you know, because everybody keeps bringing up, well, you know, look how he's pitching on the road. You know, you got to look at his road stats. And,
they're respectable, right? They're respectable as the area on the road, but not recently.
Here's his last two road starts. July 13th, he made a start in Baltimore. The Rangers did win the game. He went 6 1/3 and gave up 4 earned. But then his start before that on the road was July 7th in Detroit. He lasted just 2/3 of an inning, gave up 7 runs. Only 3 of them were earned, though, but he still gave up the hits to allow those guys on base. So, those are his last two road starts.
The question in my mind is he sound? Is he healthy?
Well, you know, it looks like it, but
And he's how old? About 30? Is he in his 30s, mid-30s?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is 34. So.
Well, I suppose it's worth a chance. Give him a spot start and see how he does, but it doesn't sound all that encouraging to me. Of course, anything's better than chat with, right? Let's give him a chance. One start and see what happens.
He does come with there's a $20 million team option for next season if the Cubs want to keep him. If not, there's a $6 million buyout that he'll get. He does have a vesting option, but he won't reach it because he's got to get 400 innings combined in 2017 and 2018 or 200 innings this year. And he's not going to get there unless he starts throwing complete game after game. So
yeah. I'll look for that happening.
But, yeah, you know, I guess you look at it as the fact that, you know, they didn't give up a lot to get him. So what the heck, right?
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me is giving up Butler because they nursed him through all his injuries, let him rehabilitate. Then he got hurt again this year, and they nursed him through that. I think it was a groin strain, wasn't it? And they brought him back, finally healthy again, and they get rid of him. So I think they should have given him another chance. But that's the way it goes, taking a chance that the coach is going to bounce back and pitch the way he did a few years ago.
You know, and I know everybody is under the impression that Hamels will take Tyler Chatwood's spot in the rotation. I'm not really set on that because obviously Mike Montgomery is a much better reliever. He can be the swing guy and the long man. Plus, if you take Chatwood out of the rotation, that gives the Cubs four of their five starters that are left-handed. And I don't know if a team would like that mix. So I'm not going to be surprised at all if Chatwood stays in the rotation and it's Montgomery who ends up being the guy getting bumped back to the bullpen.
Yeah, and surprisingly, it's still surprising to me that they still haven't solved his control issues. And this is a guy who during his career, has not had a problem like this before.
Not at all. And that's what, you know, I'll always question, you know, what the heck are they doing? I mean, you know, the Cubs brought in a pitching coach who's supposed to be one of the top guys, and we don't have any answers here. I mean, you would think he would have thrived under him, and it's been a joke.
And some of his yesterday's game, you see when he walked a pitcher who was hitting a .088 for the year or maybe for his career, he walked him to load the bases, and they got out of the inning because Bodie made a great play at second base. But that ball four was a joke. That when he loaded it, it wasn't one of those just missed on the outside corner or just a little bit off. He was almost in the ground.
Yeah, his walks per nine innings are. Thanks for that. Our 8.1, and that's just ridiculous. So
it is. It is. I keep saying one more try before they move him out of the starting rotation, but maybe he'll have one decent performance. But the sad thing is that he does appear to have a lot of stuff. Never gives up too many hits. But
unbelievable for a pitcher, but he actually has more walks than strikeouts. I'm willing to bet there's probably not another pitcher in baseball, unless he's got a real small sample size, that has more walks than strikeouts.
No. That is unique, but quite unfortunate for the Cubs.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work this out. And then, you know, like the other question I sent you that I don't believe you had an answer for me is Darvish done? Have we seen the last of Hugh Darvish for 2018?
That was a tough question. I think I mentioned that I'm kind of on the bubble on it. And if I were to be really, one way or the other, I'd say he's done. Although I'm not 100% sure, maybe 70% sure that he's done for the year. And what do you think along those lines also?
Yeah, you know, like Dan mentioned, he was supposed to throw a bullpen session this week, but I didn't hear anything about it. So I don't know if it ever happened.
It was
really frightening.
I think it did.
He had his rehab start and then he had pain again. So they obviously didn't solve his issue, or rest didn't solve his issue. And I'm kind of wondering what the hell it is. I mean, is he looking at another surgery? What's going on with him? I think we may have seen the last of him, or maybe it's just going to be a while longer and we're looking at September. You know, he ends up being, you know, almost like a September call up. Because he's going to have to work back in shape. I mean, he hasn't thrown. So, you know, he's going to need to put some innings in.
And does he have the reputation of being a soft player?
You know, I don't think he did until he got here.
Right.
You know, I mean, he always seemed to be fine everywhere else. But, you know, he got here. I mean, obviously.
Again.
Yeah, you know, he had Tommy John with Texas, but he bounced back, I believe. I think he had a 30 plus start season after that? Let me double check that before I go out on a limb. He had the Tommy John where he missed all of 2015. He made his 16 starts in 2016 when he came back. But then he bounced back and he made 31 starts last year between the Rangers and the Dodgers. But his numbers weren't – well, his ERA was good, being that most of it was in the American League at 3.86, but he was just 10-12. Of course, when you pitch for a bad team, you lose those kind of close games.
Right.
But, yeah, this year, 8 starts, 1-3 with a 4.95 ERA. Yeah, you know, that and the fact that he only racked up 40 innings. He's only been averaging 5 innings a start. So –
yeah, he would probably come back and start, but he's not feeling the love. So that's holding him back.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, the report here says that it looks like he's going to be out till at least the middle of August. So, you know, we'll see what happens or how it kind of goes on. But, yeah, you know, kind of as we keep rolling on trades here, we did have a couple – more substantial guys traded, but I did want to jump in. The Braves actually made a move. You know, we were kind of wondering if or what the Braves would end up doing. And they went out and added a left-handed reliever. Oddly, a guy who I believe used to pitch for them. I got to double check that. Yeah, they acquired Johnny Venters, who's basically, he's a left-handed specialist. He was pitching for Tampa Bay. He was 1-1 with 3.86 ERA in 22 games that covered just 14 innings. The interesting thing about Venters, this is his first year back in the majors since 2012. He was an all-star with the Braves in 2011, had serious arm trouble, and it just looked like his career was going to be over. You know, he'd been kind of, you know, he actually didn't come back till 2016. The Braves worked him through the minors until this year he finally made the team. And, you know, he was decent for them. Now, all the Braves are giving up for him here. It looks like that they are exchanging that international bonus pool space. It looks like Tampa Bay is going to get $250,000 in bonus pool money. So, you know, not much risk on either side. I mean, the Braves don't get much reward. The Braves aren't taking much risk there, right?
No, that's true. And I'll probably just bring him in for one batter in a specific situation.
Yeah. So that's kind of the plan. So then we move along to some bigger names here. The Diamondbacks make a move. You know, like we talked a little bit about them yesterday. You know, they ended up being a half game out of the final wild card spot after they blew that game yesterday. They go out and they make a deal with the Twins. I don't know if this is official yet, but it looks like everybody's reporting it. Arizona is going to get Eduardo Escobar. And in return, the Twins are going to get a right-handed pitcher by the name of Johan Duran and two outfielders, Aaron De La Trinidad and Gabriel Maciel. So that that's where we are right there. Now Escobar is in the last year of his deal, but he's having a fantastic season, going into free agency. He's hitting .274. He's got 15 home runs with 63 RBIs. So he's he also has 37 doubles. I know he's been playing a lot of short for the Twins, but he's a big time utility guy. Can play any infield position, and even he's played all three outfield positions in his career. So
I think they needed
to make a move. So that was kind of interesting there. And then the other move, and I was kind of wondering why my FanDuel lineup was messed up. Remember I mentioned to you I had two guys that ended up not being starters. Well, one of the guys I had plugged in to start today was Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets. He was going to be my second baseman. Well, as it turned out, they traded him to the Phillies. That's why he wasn't in my lineup. So Cabrera goes to the Mets for a right-handed pitcher by the name of Franklin Quilome is what I'm going to go with there. Cabrera, another guy having a really good year when needed, because he's going to be a free agent, and I think the Phillies needed a middle infielder. He may have been the best player on the Mets this year, .277 with 18 home runs and 58 RBIs. He's been playing second base exclusively with New York, but he's another guy who has played all three infield positions through his career. My guess is the Phillies may want to try him, may end up trying him at shortstop, but I don't know that for a fact. Good move for the Phillies to add another bat?
I think so, and I'm not sure if the Phillies now are the favorite to win the East over Atlanta. I think it'll go out down to the wire. It'll probably go down to the wire, assuming that Washington doesn't play their way back, and right now it doesn't look like they will.
No, yeah, I know they're playing Miami this weekend, so they have a series they should be able to win there. But yeah, I still think they're too far away to really be considered a contender at this point, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's very difficult to make up that ground. And granted, there still is 2.5 months left of baseball, but the way they played this year, I haven't seen any good winning spurts coming from them.
Yeah. So, but that does, that is all the trade talk. That's everybody who's moved so far, and all that fun stuff. We're still waiting for, some teams to possibly make some moves, and I just don't know. It's so weird because I keep seeing these guys, trying to push, a Jacob DeGrom trade. And I think it was Chris Rose, who's just a moron and needs to stop doing these things on the MLB Network, talking about how the Brewers need to go out and get Jacob DeGrom to really prove to their fan base that they're serious. We talked about it here in Chicago when the Cubs actually talked to the Mets. The Mets were looking for, what was it? It was either Schwarber, Russell, Hopper, Baez. They wanted two of the four, plus some minor leaguers to bring DeGrom in. No contender can give that up.
No.
So
and who could Milwaukee possibly give up to get DeGrom? Who could they give up to get DeGrom?
Right.
They don't have anybody.
It's like, okay, Brewers are going to go up and give up two of their starters. Great. Well, now we just gave away the season because now we no longer hit. it's fascinating when guys do this. And I know the Brewers have a solid farm system, but, I don't know if they have the five or six prospects it might take to land a guy like that.
Yeah. I was expecting that he's going to remain with the Mets.
Yeah. It was just one of those things. I mean, I think if you're targeting a Met pitcher, you're looking more at a guy like Zach Wheeler, who, has had his injury issues, but, appears to be healthy this year. And, you know, I get it. You want to be the team that makes this big splash, but DeGrom, like we said, probably isn't going anywhere. Syndergaard is hurt. You know, as of right now, it doesn't look like the Rays are going to trade Chris Archer. Blake Snell is hurt. I know I've heard Madison Bumgarner's name. The Giants aren't trading Bumgarner. Even if the Nationals sell, Scherzer and Strasburg aren't going anywhere. You know, it's great to throw these things out there, but it drives me nuts when these guys can't put on a realistic point of view and they're supposed to be talking to you about a game they allegedly know. And it's like,
wild speculation is not gonna, it's not gonna happen, but I suppose they have to talk about something.
You know, and, you know, I mean, like, I would be interested to know, like, you know, if I'm the Brewers, who look like, you know, they probably need a starting pitcher. They probably need some middle infield help, but they seem to be waiting way too long on this. You know, maybe I go to Baltimore and see if they're willing to give up a Dylan Bundy or a Kevin Gausman. But, you know, there's no sign. I mean, I think those are two guys Baltimore is going to rebuild around, and they're young pitchers, so why wouldn't they? You know, and, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk about Detroit moving Michael Fulmer. Well, he's on the DL, so I don't know if a team is willing to take that chance.
No,
you know, Kyle Gibson had a great outing for the Twins last night, so all of a sudden he's a trade piece. I really fully expect the Twins to move Lance Lynn because he's only on a one-year deal there. You know, he's a veteran guy that, you know, he's had a bad year this year with the Twins, but, you know, he's got a good resume. And I just wonder if maybe Milwaukee could add a veteran like that and, you know, help themselves out.
I think that would be a good move because I think he would bounce back. I could see him bouncing back and having a decent year if he goes to a contender.
That, you know, I mean, he would be going back to the Central Division where he had a lot of success with the Cardinals.
He did.
He did.
Always hurt the Cubs.
You know, yeah. So I do wonder if, you know, that could be a guy. You know, and I, you know, obviously just being on the end of his deal here, it's not going to cost you a lot to get him.
No.
So, you know, you've got
very tradable. Yes.
Right? I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Possibly. Right. And by the way, we were talking about Washington being a buyer or seller. Of course, we were talking about this yesterday, but you see who's back on the DL again for Washington.
Oh, no. Who went back on?
Strasburg, I believe he's back on the DL.
Oh, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he's back.
But I believe he's...
So.
It's a shame that his career has been derailed by all those injuries. He has so much talent.
So, yeah, you know, and then, like, you know, some of the other starters' names, they're floating out here. I mean, here, I'll throw these guys at you. Tell me if you can get excited about any of these guys. They've got Mike Fiers, Matt Harvey, Tyson Ross, James Shields, and Dan Straley. Do any of those five guys make you want to jump up and down and be like, hey, you've got to have these guys?
No. No. You know, Harvey's name always seems to be mentioned, and I don't see the excitement about acquiring him. And Shields is up and down, as usual. Sometimes he can be very good. Other times he can get rocked. So I don't think a contender would be seriously looking to get him, or Straley even, for that matter. None of them really seemed that exciting to me.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, this is, you know, the best you got here. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, I understand pitching is a commodity. And, you know, some of the guys have pitched pretty well as of late. You know, Fiers has actually pitched well for a bad Detroit team. You know, like I mentioned, Gibson had a really good outing last night for the Twins. But, I just don't. You know, I'm kind of looking at a guy that I wouldn't mind starting in a playoff game and, you know, not so much a make-or-break game 7 or a wild card game. And I just don't see those couple guys there being somebody I want to run out there.
No, it's pretty sparse the talent available right now that could truly help a contender at this stage of the season. And their time is running out, by the way. Of course, the end of July is Tuesday night, so and then that becomes a little more difficult for them to make these acquisitions because they have to clear waivers.
So, yeah, that's definitely, you know, an interesting, you know, going to be an interesting thing on who gets through and who doesn't get through and, you know, all that kind of funky stuff.
I wondered, one thing I wanted to ask you about, talking about getting through waivers as of starting August 1st, I'm wondering if there is sometimes it's some kind of a gentleman's agreement, certain ball players and certain management saying, all right, we'll let them go through. We're not going to try to get them. If you want to make a deal, go do it. I wonder if that happens.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that does go down, you know, so... You know, I guess we'll have to see. But yeah, apparently, you know, the Twins are the team that are drawing a lot of interest here. Obviously, you know, they're technically in second place, but we all know they're not catching Cleveland. You know, they're 48-53. You know, they got a lot of guys. You know, like Escobar was in the last year of his deal. The other interesting name is Brian Dozier, who's, you know, the power-hitting second baseman. He's another guy who's in the last year of his deal. You know, he's got a, you know, I guess the way you look at it is, the way I would describe it, especially for me, is he has an interesting resume, so to speak. You know, I mean, he's had a 40-homer season. You know, he hit 34 last year. He's got 16 this year, but he's hitting just .228. He's a career .248 hitter. He is a quality defender. And I don't know, you wonder if maybe on a different team the average would be better. You know, he's 31. Again, he's in the last year of his deal, so you wouldn't have a huge commitment to him if you wanted to keep him, you know, if you wanted to go out and get him. You like him as an ad possibly here for a contender?
I think so. I think he might do the job if he were to go to a contender and turn things around and maybe kind of be rejuvenated for the rest of the season, along with Lance Lynn, who I still think is going to be dealt by the Twins.
You know, now I do wonder if, you know, the Red Sox are sitting there looking at Dozier going, well, you know, we easily have the prospects to go get this guy. You know, Pedroia's done for the year. Nunez hasn't done much at second base. Boy, man, he could give them another deadly bat in that lineup, and, you know, he probably wouldn't be pitched around as much as he is in Minnesota. You know, I almost wonder if he's just too good of a fit there for them to pass up.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they're pretty deep in the farm system, so they could probably offer a nice package for him.
Yeah, and, you know, and then when it comes to pitching, I mean, I won't be surprised if the Twins decide that they're going to move just about every reliever they have. You know, they have Zach Duke, who's the lefty specialist we've seen. Fernando Rodney still doing it at age 41. He can still get the job done. I know Ryan Pressly is one of their setup guys that's been a hot name as of late. And I think Addison Reed is getting ready to come off the DL. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Twins move all four of these guys.
Yeah, that could happen, certainly. And that's another guy that gets injured quite a bit is Addison Reed. He's been had kind of a fair career, nothing great, but certainly I don't think he would turn things around. He may be a nice addition to the bullpen, but I don't expect all that much from him if he were to be moved.
You know,
he's
a really
healthy
guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's a quality setup guy. I just don't, I don't think you want to bring him in and try to close. You know, he's had some issues there.
Yeah, he's had his opportunities to close, but never really seemed to get the job done on a consistent basis.
So yeah, and you know, and then humorously, the reliever I've heard a lot about. Just the last few hours before we came on and did the podcast, actually has a link to the Cubs here, and that's Blake Parker, who's now with the Angels. Believe it or not, he's 33 now. He was a Cub back in 12, 13, and 14. He made appearances for them.
Yes,
he's 2-1 with the Angels. He has picked up 10 saves. He's got a 3.42 ERA in 46 games. He was always one of those guys he was kind of a really good AAA player and just couldn't turn it into major league success.
Yeah.
And, he's done okay with the Angels. I don't know if he's that guy I kind of trust or want to add to my bullpen.
I wouldn't myself. I mean, the guy is 33, as you mentioned. He's been around a while, and he's had some limited service with the Angels this year, and I don't think he's the guy you want to add if you really want to do something and add something to your bullpen that would get you into the playoffs. Yeah, I don't think he's the guy.
So, yeah, it's just one of those, I look at it, and, every time I just remember him as a Cub. And it's just
yeah.
One of those things that, I'm going to get past. And, and I mean, not that he was terrible here, but they're just, I was just kind of like, he's just kind of there. So.
Yeah. No great acquisition there. I give that one a pass.
But yeah, we'll have to see here as the weekend gets rolling. You got to think we're going to get more and more activity, and you got to wonder. I mean, I guess are we waiting on the Brewers to finally decide if they're going to do something? I mean, are they the contender we're waiting for, or do you think maybe the Rockies need to make a move? I think they made a minor one if I remember correctly, but. Is there a contender you're waiting on to see if they jump out and make a big strike here?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Colorado, but making a move, they're fairly solid. I don't think a reliever is going to help them. Besides, don't forget that they do get a reliever. You know where he's going to be pitching,
yes.
Right? And
yes,
we've seen how that backfires over at Colorado. Maybe it'll make him a road specialist.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe they add a starter. They're one of the teams who goes out and looks at a starter. I've been sitting here waiting for the Brewers to do something. I've been kind of banging the gong, and boy, man, they just seem to be standing pat.
Didn't the Brewers get the White Sox closer?
Yeah, they got Soria. He's the only ad they've made, but. I really want to see him go out and get a middle infielder, and I keep watching these guys kind of move, and it's like, guys, are you going to, I just don't see them winning with, Jonathan Villar and Tyler Saladino at second and short.
No, not at all. And although he did manage to win last night on the road against San Francisco, didn't they?
Yeah, they've done well with, the cast they have, or however you want to look at it, but they don't scream World Series contender with what they've put together.
No, they got a real bad losing streak, but that seems to be past them now.
Yeah, and it's just I just kind of think they need a jolt, or they need a spark. How about Podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and look.